This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleagues, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, and Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And we're very privileged to have David Daoud to help us understand the chaos around Hezbollah these last weeks. David is at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, watching Hezbollah for us very closely. David, a very good evening to you. I begin with the headlines, and then we'll go to the questions. For example, target of Damascus strike was responsible for transferring arms from Iran to Hezbollah. For example, in Lebanon, U.S. envoy says conflict has, quote, escalated out of control. In Jerusalem, Minister of Defense Gallant signs order declaring shadowy Hezbollah bank a terror organization. In addition to that, we have five drones intercepted over the Mediterranean, momentarily closing Ben-Gurion Airport. So I lay all those dots out there, not to connect, but they're generally related to Hezbollah. Thaddeus, you have a question for David.
The question for David is very simple regarding the shadowy banking situation. Are we going to continue to see more attacks upon banks for engaging in subsidizing and laundering money for terrorist organizations such as Hezbollah?
David?
Oh, just to be clear, this was an attack on Hezbollah's own banking network itself. It wasn't an attack on Lebanese banks, which supposedly, under pressure from the United States government, have discharged all Hezbollah funds from their assets. And if I were Hezbollah, I wouldn't put my assets in Lebanese banks because that would make them traceable and reachable. So Hezbollah has its own banking system, Bayt al-Mal, Qard al-Hassan. These are two networks that they run, and Qard al-Hassan's branches in several parts of Lebanon, the Baqa, South Lebanon, and the entire and in Beirut were struck yesterday by in its blitz of Israeli airstrikes. The problem, first of all, let me say if this Israeli strike succeeded in not just destroying the buildings but the assets inside, this is a significant setback for Hezbollah. It's not just for their warfighting capabilities now, their ability to buy additional arms, but for their ability to regenerate. Naim Qassem, the deputy secretary general of Hezbollah, in his third and most recent speech, talked about how Hezbollah had the money ready for rebuilding the day after, right? So providing people with funds for rebuilding their homes and other assistance. It's going to be critical day after the war for Hezbollah's ability to regenerate. And the second part where those funds are going to be needed is to be channeled into Hezbollah's vast social apparatus, these conveyor belt mechanisms that attract Lebanese Shiite support for pragmatic or practical reasons, and then act, like I said, as conveyor belts, slowly ideologically injecting these people to make them more ideologically motivated, more ideologically homogeneous over the course of generations. Now, if Hezbollah didn't have the money to do that, they're in trouble the day after the war. The problem is, did they move their funds? Right? Did they move them at the outset of the war? Did they move them when the Israelis intensified their strikes? Did they have enough time to move them after the Israelis made the announcement yesterday that they would be targeting Hezbollah's financial assets, and then waited, I think it was like a couple of hours before the strike started. Was that sufficient time for Hezbollah to move its assets or not? That's the big question mark.
Bill, you have a question for David.
David, is the attack on Hezbollah's banking network an indication that Israel is going after what you described as Hezbollah's social network or its non-military organization? Could like Hezbollah's television and radio networks be next? Or is there other targets that the Israelis may be looking at?
I think so. I mean, look, I think the Israeli objective increasingly, right, the objective is to restore the displaced civilians to their homes in the north. Ratcheting up pressure gradually, as Israel has been doing over the course of the past year, especially since September 16th with telecommunications device operations, it simply hasn't worked. Hezbollah keeps digging in its heels insisting on its position that they're going to continue attacking Israel until prior ceasefire in Gaza. And now they're saying we're fully at war with Israel. So whatever happens, we're in it. We're in it. We're in it until victory. On the other hand, you know, there's no hope to be had from Lebanon. Right? It's not like the Israelis can deal significant damage to Hezbollah's military assets and then the Lebanese of whatever permutation, opposition, not opposition, old feudal lords will pick up the slack and pick up their responsibilities. So I think the Israelis are targeting Hezbollah's ability to regenerate the day after. Part of this, yes, will include targeting those social apparatuses that draw public support, that draw significant popular support. So funds are essential. Media is huge because Hezbollah's media outlets are the means through which Hezbollah can continue to frame reality to its advantage. Something can happen, a major setback, and what we've seen with Hezbollah over the course of decades is that they can take that setback, and because they control the information environment, twist it to their advantage among their supporters. And they don't have to convince most Lebanese. They just have to keep a critical mass of their supporters on board in order to guarantee their longevity and their durability. So yes, if I were the Israelis, I would be starting to go after those regeneration capabilities, because there is no Lebanese option to pick up the slack once you've degraded Hezbollah militarily.
To Damascus, the subhead of a photograph of a destroyed vehicle on the street. Syrian emergency and security services inspect the wreckage of a car that exploded in Damascus October 21st, within 24 hours. Hebrew media says that one of the two people killed in a strike on the car in Damascus was responsible for transferring arms from Iran to Hezbollah. This reminds me, David, of when Israel's security organizations targeted those responsible for the Munich massacre of the 1970s. Are we going to see, one by one, the operatives that are connecting the outside world to Iraq, to Hezbollah, eliminated in a similar fashion? Bombs here, disappearances there. Is that what we're underway, a dirty war?
I mean, I would say that Israel is trying to, it's a continuation of what I was just mentioning to Bill. Israel is trying to degrade Hezbollah's ability to regenerate. And where this is probably a more intense version of Operation Wrath of God after the Munich massacre is that it's not going just for the senior leadership. It's going for the replacements and the replacements' replacements to make sure that if anyone remains to pick up the slack, that they don't have the experience or the veterancy to be able to run an organization or any of its branches as sophisticated as Hezbollah. So you're degrading Hezbollah's competence to continue acting as it has over the course of the past 4 years. I would say this is part of that, and it's taking lessons from the failure of Operation Wrath of God, and from in general, there's a debate in the counterterrorism sphere whether decapitation, removing leadership of terrorist groups, works. It seems like the Israelis have taken those lessons, they've internalized them. They're not just hitting the head, they're hitting the entire upper body. And if they're leaving anything, if I'm going to continue with the metaphor, it's just leaving the feet.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Well, David, that's it, isn't it? You have to separate the organization from the population by any means necessary. Is that accurate?
I don't know by any means necessary, but by all legal means, the ability of the Hezbollah's popularity in Lebanon rests among a specific inner core of the group on ideological and religious motivations. Right, that's the inner core of Hezbollah, the true believers in both the group's interpretation of Shiite Islam and in Wilayat al-Faqih, right? This idea of subservience to the jurisconsult, the guardianship of the jurisconsult. But as you go out, you increasingly have people who are who follow Hezbollah for pragmatic reasons, right? For social services, for giving Shiites equality, equal political footing, equal social footing with Maronites and Sunnis and Druze in the country. And this notion of resistance, right? The idea that Israel is this evil, rapacious, bloodthirsty entity, as Hezbollah sells it, and that Hezbollah is the only thing standing between between the Lebanese and Israel's desires, Israel's inclinations. So if Hezbollah is strong and is perceived as strong, people will support it because, hey, these are the guys that can support us against the big, bad Israelis. But if they're perceived as weak, their utility is called into question, right? Hezbollah's utility is called into question. And if Hezbollah can't deliver on the needs of its population, of its support base, if it brings destruction upon them that it can't reverse, then yeah, more of its utility is going to be called into question. And that over time could sever the population from Hezbollah, making it a finite criminal group that can slowly be degraded rather than what they aspire to be, which is Ummat Hezbollah, a nation of Hezbollah. And you can't destroy a nation.
Bill, you have a question for David.
Yeah, what is the status of Israeli military operations in southern Lebanon? Do we have any indication that the Israelis intend to push Hezbollah to the north of the Litani River by force using ground operations?
I think right now what we're seeing is the continuation of the limited incursions along the border, coupled with airstrikes. Again, what we've seen from the Israelis over the past year, or year and 2 weeks, if my math is serving me correctly, is a gradual ratcheting of pressure up against Hezbollah. Right? This is the strategy announced by IDF Chief of Staff Herzi Halevi in January, that Israel would continue ratcheting up pressure against Hezbollah to achieve its goals of quiet in the north, of actually being able to return its citizens in safety to the north. Otherwise, we will come to war. Now, the mutual attrition that existed up until September 16th, that phase is over. Now we've moved into what I would call proactive attrition, right, where the Israelis are putting the weight of the pain of this attrition campaign heavily upon Hezbollah. If that suffices for Hezbollah to withdraw north of the Litani, then I think the Israelis will be content. But it seems like Hezbollah is not going to go out without a fight. So it may require Israel to push deeper into Lebanon, even though that plan, right, that may not be a plan that's there from the outset, that may not be the Israeli objective at the moment. It may be something the Israelis come to if Hezbollah doesn't back down.
That is Mukhtar, and Bill Raggio and I are enjoying the conversation with David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, looking closely at Hezbollah after a series of blows that look successful. But as we're learning from David, this has happened before where you push them and then they regenerate. When we come back, what about Iran, the brain of the savagery?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.